Well, tonight we're not going to be in Ecclesiastes. You would have read that in your bulletin had we had a bulletin, but since the computer crashed, no, it's one of those things this past week God just kind of laid on my heart. We're going to actually be in Revelation chapter 3. So we're going to go from that depressing investigation of Solomon and what the world has to look forward to under the sun, to Revelation chapter 3, very few verses actually. We're going to start in verse 7. And so I'm going to open up real quick. Does anybody have anything on their heart they need to share? Okay. We are going to be in this passage. It's titled The Faithful Church. There's just a list of things in there I want us to look at tonight that God kind of laid on my heart that we need to understand that song when it says, "Your goodness is running after me." Sometimes I feel like we dodge God's goodness. He has it there for us. He has the blessings in front of us. And it's like we're playing hide and seek with Him because we don't expect those blessings. We don't desire that. God desires to bless us. God desires to reward us. God desires to give us not just a life, but an abundant life in Jesus Christ right now. Not just eternally. We'll get that, and we're going to talk about that maybe just a little bit, depending on how far we get. But He wants us to have an abundant life right now. And if we're going to live in this world and have an abundant life, then it's got to be through the power of Jesus Christ. It's got to be through the blood of Jesus. But if we go into this world, and like we were talking about just a minute ago, the world has nothing to look forward to. It's understandable that they would be down and depressed and all the bad things because they don't know Jesus. And so sometimes we want them to be upbeat. We want them to understand there's hope, and we want to share Jesus with them. But until they receive Him, till they understand that, they will never have that positive outlook. We kind of get to where we understand that. We talk about it enough that I can't expect a non-Christian to do Christian things, make Christian decisions. We understand that. But I think the reason God kind of laid this on my heart this week is because it's like, Steve, you don't always have the positive outlook that you as a Christian should have. You have all of this in me. You should be living that way. I don't care how dark this society gets. Nothing can take away that glorious hope, that power of the resurrection that God has given me. Satan's going to do everything he can to try to dampen that in our lives because of what we see, because of everything that's going on. You know, there's a big sign on the way to Springfield, "How can God bless a nation that kills its babies?" And we see that and we're reminded of it. And it's understandable that it hurts when we see that. But we have to still be able to focus on the fact that if we are faithful, He has so many blessings waiting for you when you wake up tomorrow morning. When you lay your head down tonight, the blessings of God are there for you. But it's just like if that $100 bill is laying on the ground and you never look down to see it. Or that apple is hanging from the tree and you never look up to pick it. That's why I think sometimes we are as Christians, because we're so caught up on just getting through that we need to focus on what He has for us. So let's ask a blessing on His Word. Father, we just lift up this passage tonight. Short verses, but powerful. Lord, we ask that You would just speak to us. Help us to understand. Help it to change us. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to start in verse 7. says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. And this again, like I said, is to the faithful church. These things says he who is holy. Jesus is speaking these things. He who is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's coming straight from him. He who has the key of David. Now, the Old Testament, if you go back, the key of David is that understanding of the one that has the say-so of who gets to go to heaven. Okay? That's what we're talking about, that key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. When God has a path set for your life, Satan cannot stop it. No one can stop it. He says when he opens something up, no one can close it. When he closes something, no one can open it. Now, I'm sure you've heard people say that, man, I think God wanted to bless me, but I just messed it up. And yeah, we mess things up. We take the wrong turn. We do the wrong thing. We make the wrong decision. We do that. But if God wanted to bless you, he wants you to receive that blessing. And there's really nothing you can do. You're not that powerful. Yes, you can make choices to go the other way. But if you're seeking the will of God, what he sets before you, he promises to you, and it's yours. So why don't we receive it? If it's a promise, if it's there, he's the one that has the power to open and shut. Nobody can change that. He holds the keys to salvation. Now, this is written to a faithful church, and so that's why I wanted to share this tonight, because I feel like that we are striving to be a faithful church. We want to follow God. We desire to seek him. We desire a relationship with him. We want to be faithful. And even when we're not faithful, like I said this morning, God is faithful. But this is what he says. When he opens it, no one shuts it. What he shuts, no one can open. And then in the beginning of verse 8, he says, I know your works. Now this church he's talking about, this faithful church, he said, I know your works. Works don't get you salvation, but I know your works. So that tells me if the faithful church, God says, I know your works, then obviously they were doing works. Some people say, well, you know, if you talk about works and you're talking work salvation, and that's not right. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, like it said this morning, that God wants us to be zealous to do the good work he has prepared for us. There are works that we have to do in order for him to know them. He knows their works. He said, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut it. He's saying, I know your works. I know what you've done. I know your salvation is before you. I've given you that open door of salvation, and nothing can take that away. We need to live that way. We need to understand that the works have nothing to do with us getting the salvation, but the fact that he has set that open door before us, the salvation he's granted us, should be enough to cause us to do those good works. Because not only does he know the works of the faithful church, he knows the lack of work in the unfaithful church. Tonight I want us to look at, as we go through this few verses here, I want us to see, yes, I'm not trying to add anything to, and I think you'll understand as we go through it, I'm not adding anything to the Bible or to the book, But if he knows the works of the faithful church, then he knows the lack of works for the unfaithful church. Does that make sense? Okay. And so for us, we want to be that faithful church, and so therefore, what he's set before us, what he's called us to do, is to do the works that he's set before us. Well, I don't really know what that is. I'm not sure exactly what the works are that God has for us as a church. You know, what does God want us to do? We're going to find that in here. We're going to find that through prayer and reading his word, seeing what he likes, seeing what he hates, standing up for what he likes, standing against for what he hates. Oh, well, you're asking a lot there. No, I'm not asking you anything. If at any point you think I'm asking you to do something here, I'm just reading the words. And you can take it up with the guy that wrote it. Because he says, I know your works. I've set before you an open door that no one can shut. But the thing that stops us so many times, he says, for you have little strength. That's my excuse. That's our excuse a lot of times is, well, you know, I just don't feel like I can do much for God because I just don't have the strength to do it. I'm one person. I'm weak. We can all come up with whatever other type of excuse. I don't know enough. This is what happened the last time. But God says, when you're faithful, obviously what's going to happen? If these faithful people that he's talking about in this faithful church, they were doing the works, he set before them an open door. Now, some people look at it as an open door to heaven. Some people look at it as an open door of works before you. But either way, he set before you this open door. He knows your works or your lack of work if you're not in the faithful group. And I'm not pointing anybody either direction. I'm just reading the words. But obviously, when they were doing the work of God, what happened? I know you have little strength. You're going to run out of strength. Because God tells them here, Jesus tells them, you know, tell the church of Philadelphia, I know your works, and I know because of those works you have little strength. Now, maybe I have little strength because I'm wore out doing everything I can possibly do. It may be I have little strength compared to what enormous strength it would take for me to do what God has called me to do. And I'm saying me, but it's for each of us. But when he says, I know you have little strength, he doesn't say, I know you're out of strength. He doesn't say, I know you don't have enough strength. He says, I know you have little strength. But he never says that little strength is not enough. He just says, I know what you've got. And if I'm calling you to do something, and I know the amount of strength you have, God will never call us to do something that he doesn't equip us to do. He tells us over and over that when we're weak, when we're a little strength, then he is our strength. He is strong. But we've got to draw from him. But he knows our little strength. It goes on, it says, but you have kept my word. This one seems like it would be so easy. But man, it's so difficult. But God is saying to this faithful church, Jesus is saying to this faithful church, I know your works, I know you don't have a lot of strength, but I know you've got enough strength, and you have still kept my word. You have still done what I told you to do. You have still followed my word. My word. What God has called us to do, I know the faithful church has kept my word. So he probably knows, he does know, when the unfaithful church has not kept his word. And I'm throwing this flip side of the coin in there so that it will at least make us stop and think about, I've got a choice. I can do the works. I can depend on Him for my strength. I can keep His word or not keep His word. He says, you've kept my word. This is one of the churches that He has nothing bad to say about. You know, in the churches, the letters that He writes to the churches in the first half of Revelation, first few chapters, this is that one that He doesn't say, well, you know, you've left your first love, or you've done this, or you've done that, and there's something that I have against you. This church He's pleased with because they've done the works. They've had enough strength. They've kept His word. He goes on, He says, and have not denied my name. It's getting a little sticky, because there's times as Christians that we wouldn't think, well, I've never done like Peter. You know, Peter denied Him three times, even after Jesus told him He was going to. And he said, no, I would never do that. I would die first. I'd never deny you. We never picture ourselves denying Him in that way. But when we have the opportunity to stand up for Him, claim the power of God, profess the name of Jesus Christ, and we choose not to do it, we are denying His name. He says, I know you've kept my word and you have not denied my name. We've had opportunities to stand, to speak, to profess the name of Jesus when we didn't do it. But to deny something is when they bring something to my table at a restaurant and I say, no, thank you. I turn it away. I denied it. When God says, hey, Steve, here's what I want you to do. I want you to claim my name in front of these people. And I said, no, thanks, God. I don't want to. That's kind of the way it sounds to Him. But He says, I know you haven't done that. I know you haven't denied my name. He goes on, after talking right now so far about this faithful church and all that is before them, He's saying, sitting at the right hand of God, He's basically saying, hey, I know the works. I know you're out of strength, your little strength. I know you have kept my word. I know you have not denied my name. And I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie indeed. I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. Now, this is talking about, of course, this is written for that eschatological time, that time in the future when God comes back and He's taking care of this. He's setting people up because He knows that He's going to. He tells us as a faithful church, I know where you're at. I know how you lived. But one day, I'm going to take care of all your enemies. That synagogue of Satan, there were those people that claimed to be Jews, claim to be children of God, but did not follow Him. And so He calls them basically a synagogue of Satan, who say they're Jews, but they're really only Jews on the outside. They were against those faithful. But there's going to come a time when He's going to have them fall down, when He's there and they're going to worship Him. And they are going to know that God loved you. There's those times when they make fun of us. They They want to talk down our faith. They I don't believe in your God, and your God's not real. And we stop and we hesitate because how could I ever convince somebody like that that God loves them or loves me? How can I ever convince somebody that just totally rejects God? And they think they've got the upper hand, but one day God's going to say, no, they're mine. And you're going to know I loved them when you were treating them that way. That's the faithful church. Verse 10, it says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. He's talking here, I believe he's talking about the tribulation, and he's talking about he's going to keep them from it. He's going to protect them. He's going to pull them out. And as he shares this, he tells the faithful church, there is a tough time, and that's putting it very nicely, there is a tough time coming, but I've got your back. I'm taking care of you. All because of the relationship of the faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, some people want to say, well, they're just talking about you can lose your salvation. Somebody can take your salvation. That's not talking about salvation. It's talking about a reward. We have that reward in heaven. But he tells the faithful, behold, I'm coming quickly. That doesn't mean he's coming soon. It's not like when they read this, when they first read this letter of John, that, oh, well, he's going to come in the next few months. That's not what it means. It means when he's coming for sure, and he's coming suddenly. So hold fast. Hold fast to what? So that you don't lose your reward in heaven. Hold fast to your faith. Remember, this is a people that were a part of that faithful church, a people that had the right relationship with Jesus Christ, and they lived by their faith. They obeyed the word. They did the works. They used what strength they had. They did not deny the name of Jesus Christ. They did all of those things. And he said, you need to persevere. Well, surely if you've got a strong faith, because we think of when you need to persevere, that's somebody that just feels like they're just about to lose. So if I can hang on just a little bit longer, then that's persevering. It's that attitude that I'm never going to give up. That idea that no matter what comes at me, I'm not going to give up. Remember several years ago when I was coaching, we had a pitching machine that we had just gotten. We'd set it up pretty fast. And this kid's in the cage, and I mean, we've got it cranked, and it's blowing pitches past him. And I'm like, okay, give somebody else a shot. No, I'm not giving up till I hit this ball. I mean, we're buzzing them past him. Wasn't going to give up. That's where we need to be as Christians. It's not going to be easy, but it's not like we're so close that we have to persevere on the edge of losing. Because he's already said he's got our back. He's taking care of us. We don't have to worry about it. Just never give up. 12 says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. That's what you've got in store for you. So no matter what you face tomorrow, there's going to be a day when He's going to write that on you. He's going to seal you. You are His. He's going to bring you into His temple. He is going to come down. He's going to take us to heaven. We'll come back down with Him. We will be there with Him. I will write on Him a new name. You know, I've always loved my name. I don't know. I'm Stephen Thomas Ewing. I love the Ewing because that was my dad. But I love the Stephen Thomas because Stephen in the Bible was that man full of faith. But then there was Thomas who was the ultimate doubter. And so I was tugged between. And a lot more times I led towards Thomas than I did Stephen. But I love my name. But I can't even imagine what the next one's going to be. Because He's going to give us a new name. And then He says in verse 13, "He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is a letter written to that church, that faithful church. But we need to understand that yes, it goes to this. Yes, it's talking this passage. But we need to hear. Those of us that have ears, and we all do, need to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the church, to the individual. Because He's called us to do these things. Because this is what faithful Christians do. This is what faithful children of God have in store for them. He holds the keys. He knows your works. He's opened heaven for you. He knows your strength level. He knows if you've kept His word. He knows you have not denied His name. He will take care of you. He's got your back. But He's not just got your back. He's got your future. That's how we should live. Faithful to the word of God. Faithful to the name of God, faithful to the works of God, faithful. We always talk about when we're giving God praise, what are we thankful for? That He's faithful. We're always thankful that He's faithful. We can read throughout the Old Testament where they were not faithful. And then we'll read that Abraham, it was credited to him righteousness because of his faith. Faith in Jesus Christ doesn't just happen when I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. That's where a lot of people stop. Well, I believe in Him. I have faith in Him. I believe He's the Son of God. And at what level or at what point did they truly accept Christ? That's not for me to decide. But I believe faith in Jesus Christ is an everyday thing because of what He says about the faithful church. He did not talk except for one spot where He says, "I've opened heaven," or "I've opened the door for you and no one can shut it." But other than that, everything He talked about happens on a daily basis. So faith has to happen on a daily basis. I wanted to focus on this church because of the positive. Because you're doing what you're supposed to do. But the flip side of that coin is there's so many out there that aren't. And are they seeing us? Are they seeing that reflection of Jesus Christ? Because He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." And that can either scare you, that can make you nervous, that can make you stressful, and it can make you happy all at the same time. Because For me, I can't wait. And when I pray, Jesus, come quickly, or come, Jesus, come, whichever way it comes out in my prayer, I want that to happen so badly. But I know there were people that walked in this sanctuary this morning that did not know Jesus. And they walked out of here not knowing Jesus. I know I've got family, I've got friends that do not know Jesus. And so that come quickly scares me for them. And it should scare us all for them. But all we can do is be faithful and pray that God will see, they will see God in us, in what we do in His works, and how we obey His word, and how we don't deny His name, and the other things that we talked about. That's where we have to live. You've got enough strength, because He knows what you've got. You've got enough. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, though it's a short passage, a small passage, it is so powerful. Lord, I pray for encouragement. We thank You for knowing where we're at and knowing that it's because of You, because of Your power, because of Your strength, because of Your love, because of Your grace, because of Your mercy, that we are where we are. But Lord, don't let us be satisfied. That we might seek to honor You, to glorify You, to praise You with our lives, with our thoughts, the meditation of our heart, the words we speak, our actions. Lord, may everything bring honor to You. May You use us in Your kingdom, that You might receive those that You love. In Your name we pray. Amen.